sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
There is nothing like being in the Sunbury Motors Studio on a Monday afternoon where it's conference tournament week. Great to have you with us. Wednesday show, we're going to hear from Malcolm Moran, who for years, for 30 years, Malcolm worked at Newsday, the Chicago Tribune, New York Times, and USA Today. He's currently the night chair in the College of Communications and the Curley School for Sports Journalism at Penn State. We'll hear from Malcolm talking about open locker room policies, or the lack thereof, and also about the tournament. That's coming up on Wednesday's show. Also, Allie Stevens will talk with Vince Papale. That'll be on Wednesday's show as well. Today, we'll hear from assistant coach Brian Daly of the Nittany Lions and Tim Frazier. We welcome in Kevin Herr.
Wonderful to be here, and wonderful to be with you again.
Wow, so formal.
Well, you know, I wanted to get to the point. You know, it's a great. I told you, I love this part of the day. It's a great
obviously
moment.
You got a memo. I told you to get to the point.
And that's a rarity, me being able to get to the point quickly. So, you know.
Yeah. Well done. We're loving it. 1-800-795-9565. It's 1-800-795-9565. As we try to kick it into gear for everybody. And we'll talk about the tournament. Big week for Bucknell. It's all on the line Wednesday night. They play with Lehigh for the Patriot League Championship. And I know the good people at Bucknell had talked about me going over there and doing the show from there, which is a great idea, except it's a travel day for me. If Penn State had made the top four, for example, then I wouldn't have traveled till Thursday. We'd have done the show live from there.
That would have been great.
We would have enjoyed it. Would have had a great time. But we have Kevin and I have worked out a game plan as should there be success. And it's now up to Kevin to execute the game plan. And many of over the years have asked me, how have I felt about Kevin's execution? I said I was in favor of it.
Yeah, thank you. I saw that one coming from a mile away. You watched one too many NFL Films highlights of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Was that?
Are you likening your personal performance to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Nicely. Man, did I set that one right up. You smacked that one deep.
Are you likening your performance to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Who needs spring training? You're in rare midseason form already.
All right, let's talk about, first of all, before we get to some basketball talk, and there'll be plenty of that along the way, about the, first of all, the Pirates signing Andrew McCutchen, $51 million over 6 years. That is a huge signing for the Pirates, and the reason it is that now they have told their fans for the first time that if somebody establishes themselves within their system, they will be willing to sign them to a long-term deal with some paper. They haven't done that in forever. And the other one is, of course, the bounty program in the NFL. Greg Williams is going to talk to the commissioner. It'll be interesting to see how it turns out. You would expect fines and possibly suspensions out of this. But bounties are not unusual.
Well, Buddy Ryan did a lot of it in the Philadelphia days, too.
I'm sure he did. But it's been done on every level, right? When I was a sophomore and junior in high school, quote, we had it. When I was a senior, I strongly recommended against it. I said, is it winning good enough?
I never played well enough to have to worry about a bounty.
Yes, you would not be on anybody's bounty.
No, I didn't have to worry about making any of the bounty. That's what I meant.
I hear you. So, boy, if you could knock her out of the game, that'd be great. They were like, no, we want him to stay.
No, leave him in. He's who we want to come in the place of the player we want out.
Yeah, so, but the bounty program. Now, they do promote, obviously, a game of speed, hitting, and in a subtle way, promote violence.
Controlled violence is the best term I've ever heard.
Yes. They promote all of that and more. These were supposedly bounties for, quote, legal hits. Is it right? No. Is it unusual? No. Is it unusual we found out about it? Yes. I don't know who spilled the beans.
See, that's the question you asked last week that I think is the best question, is who would have spilled the beans on this and who benefits from it? I mean, really, I mean, even if you're one squealing on it, you're still not going to benefit from it.
And there's no benefit. There's no benefit out of this.
Now, that doesn't make it right. I don't want any interpretation that I think this is right and somebody, you know, should have kept it quiet. I'm just saying, I find it strange, as you did last week, that somebody would even comment about it at the NFL level.
Right. I mean, do you think the Saints are the only team in the NFL that had a bounty?
Exactly.
There are high school teams who have that. I mean, I go back to when I played in the 70s. the upperclassmen. Well, when I became one of the other upperclassmen, we did away with it. I said, there's no need for this. And the other guys agreed. And we actually won more games than we did before. So,
well, here's the real thing. Is this kind of an insult to Brett Favre, though? I mean, one of the bounties reported in January of 2010 by Jonathan Vilma, who was the team captain at the time, was $10,000 cash to anybody who knocked quarterback Brett Favre out of the game. Now, if I'm Brett Favre, I'm slightly insulted by only 10 grand from these guys.
Oh, brother.
I think I'd be worth a little bit more than that.
Listen to you.
I should be worth at least 25. I'm Brett Favre. John Madden loves me. I'm Brett Favre.
That's when a specific individual is targeted, then there is something wrong with that. That's where I draw the line, where they want to knock out a specific individual. That is where it becomes a problem in my eyes. I can see, like, it's a legal hit, it's a great hit, the whole thing. All right, you know, I'm not in favor of it, but when you start targeting individuals, you're going to get $10,000 and not go far. What? I mean, getting to him and knocking him down is not good enough? The whole point's to win. So that's the bounty program. And Penn State.
I was going to add to that, though, Steve, that there was rumors that this happened during William Stint's with the Redskins and the Bills as well.
Yes, yes. And he's being brought to New York where he will be interrogated.
That's a good word for it.
By the league. Now, the Penn State wrestling team goes out and gets the job done yesterday. They were in third place at Mackey when the day began. They go out and go 13-2. They rack up bonus points left and right, and they vault Iowa and vault Minnesota and win it.
Did I read that every single Penn State wrestler placed? I mean, now, I understand they placed 10.
All 10 are going to the NCAAs.
And they were in third place at one point. That's what I didn't get.
They were in third place starting yesterday. They vaulted Iowa. They vaulted Minnesota. And they picked up, and the three guys you would expect to be the home run hitters in the lineup, Frank Molinaro, David Taylor, and Ed Ruth, all won Big Ten championships. All of them won Big Ten championships. And got it done. And they racked up huge bonus points along the way. Bonus points swung this thing. And they did extremely well in this tournament. of racking up bonus points. They are the show in college wrestling. Everywhere they go, they are the attraction. Everybody wants a slice of them. They seem to embrace it. But you have to back it up. And they backed it up yesterday with an impressive performance where they're down, where two other schools think they've got them, and they didn't have them. They wrestled like champions yesterday, going 13-2 in the clutch when they had to have 13-2. That's how you end up being the show in college wrestling.
Well, I thought the biggest thing in that whole story was the fact that no Big Ten opponent has scored a point on Molinaro in the conference tournament, and then he goes in with a 15-0 tech fall in the final. That's I think that's even tougher than getting a pin in the final.
Sure it is.
I mean, 15-0.
That's total, complete, embarrassing domination.
And that was in 4 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable.
I mean, you want to talk about surgical. He destroyed that kid. And then Taylor is still Taylor. Ruth is still Ruth. Now, Ruth probably will not be the number one seed at Nationals. I think he'll be a two. But Taylor and Molinaro will be ones. And I wouldn't be surprised if Ruth ends up being the favorite in his class, even though he's a two. As they go to defend their championship in St. Louis, we'll have Jeff Byers on the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling next week.
I think the next big standout has to be Megalutis.
Probably.
I mean, I'm just watching him wrestle as a freshman right now. He doesn't look like a freshman at all.
Right, and that's the kind of depth they have. They have great depth in that wrestling room right now. And they have guys that are willing, that are really good wrestlers in their own weight class, to move up and wrestle somebody else in the wrestling room to get themselves better. Somebody a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit quicker. And you have the guys who are bigger and quicker willing to do battle with them on the mat in the wrestling room to make them better. That's impressive. That's how cohesive they are. But again, it's one thing to be the show in name. It's another thing to back it up with performance. They backed it up in performance. Very, very impressive. And that's what they did yesterday. I mean, you cannot ask for a team in the clutch, back to the wall, with the target on the chest to begin with. I mean, they all have targets on them. They're Penn State wrestlers. They have targets on them. They're the defending champions. And guess what? When it all was put on the table, the show showed up and got it done. Very impressive.
By the way, I just got an update. You were talking about the Bucknell Bison in the Patriot League Championship game.
Yes.
That game is now sold out. They had an additional allotment of tickets that came out earlier today, and that is gone as well.
Good. Should be sold out.
Yeah.
NCAA tournament's on the line. It's like an additional tournament game right here. Excited to see what they can do. This will be a great matchup between them. I'm looking forward to getting to the hotel and watching as quickly as possible. Now, so far, Bubble has been okay. Murray State did what they had to do. They won. Creighton needed overtime. They did what they had to do. So far, there's not one spot has been taken from a conference tournament by somebody that should not, that wins a conference tournament and, quote, sneaks in or wins their way in.
I was looking at Joey's brackets today, and Joe Lenardi's bracket has seven Big Ten teams in the bracket. Seven.
There should be seven.
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm saying that's an impressive number, and that it's an impressive Big Ten tournament that's starting this week.
Right. And the key one will be the 7-10 matchup, Northwestern and Minnesota, which will be the 5:31 on ESPN2 after Penn State plays Indiana.
And he has Northwestern on the bubble right now with Kansas or with Texas.
Northwestern is right now, my understanding is 34. They are 34 right now on the list.
Yeah, he has them as
which puts three teams behind them. That means Seton Hall is 35, Xavier's 36, and Texas is 37.
Yeah, he has Northwestern / Texas in the Albuquerque game against Florida State.
Right. I think if Northwestern wins on Thursday, I think they're in. The breakdown I've seen is that the first four out, Tennessee, VCU, which plays Drexel tonight, Oregon, and NC State. Then the next four, okay, so now we've just run down 38 through 41. Here's 42 through 45. Miami of Florida, 42. Iowa, 43. Arizona, 44. St. Joe's, 45. That would mean he has South Florida in, Colorado State in. Arizona got dropped down a notch in all this after the loss to Arizona State. Texas is the last team in. And Colorado State and South Florida are above the cut line. Colorado State should definitely be above it. It has 10 Big East teams in. 7 Big Tens, 6 Big 12s, 5 SECs, including Kentucky, the best team I've seen in person all year. 4 ACCs, 4 Mountain West, that includes Colorado State, 3 Atlantic 10s, 3 West Coast Conference teams, 2 Conference USAs, 2 Missouri Valleys, and 2 Pac-12s. Again, we've talked about the Pac-12 in the past month, how they are down as a conference. That shows it right there. Already in, Belmont from the Atlantic Sun, Creighton from the Missouri Valley, Missouri State from the Ohio Valley, and North Carolina Asheville from the Big South.
Now let me ask you this. With these teams that are already in, with over a week to go before the next game, is that worse than trying to get your way in like the day on Sunday? I mean, from a mental standpoint, a preparation standpoint, because you don't really know who you're going to play. You really can't prepare yourself for any team or any specific team. So is it better to be in this early, or is it okay to just wait until you win your tournament on Sunday like some of the majors?
I think it's a fact of life at certain levels. I mean, you look for example, let's take Bucknell. They'll play Lehigh Wednesday night. Say Bucknell's successful. The earliest they would play would be 8 days. You would think that they'd get a little bit of time off, and then they'd get them back into some sort of practice routine over the weekend, and then get really specific on Monday when they have tape of whomever they're playing. As long as you avoid Dayton.
But some of the teams you were talking about, getting in Saturday night, I mean, that's almost 2 weeks before you play.
Well, it depends. I don't know.
Right,
for example, you know, some of these schools here, you know, might be in Dayton. Okay, I mean, now Creighton and Murray State won't be, but it's not out of the realm that Belmont and UNC Asheville. It's not out of the realm that they
True.
Could be in Dayton
True.
On Tuesday night.
Yeah, you still have that. You still have that. I hate to use play-in game, but the extra games, and I don't even like
the
to
first,
say extra
it's
games.
Well, it's the first round is what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, it's just
it's the first round, because when Penn State played last year, it was a second-round game for the right to go to the third.
That's true.
We'll come back with more at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Back with more after this.
This is Hollywood, where you can celebrate the luck of the Irish Saturday, March 17th at Hollywood on the Roof, with $2 corned beef sandwiches and $2 draft beer from 5 to 8 p.m. Plus a live performance with Smooth Like Clyde starting at 8 p.m. Playing all your favorites from the 60s through today, including authentic Celtic songs in honor of St. Patrick's Day. It's all at Hollywood. where the stage is set and the whole cast is here, from the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor, from the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars, here you've got the lead role, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey, take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
Here's Dr. Nicole Christman, a Geisinger primary care doctor.
I went into family practice because I felt very strongly about prevention and taking care of the whole person.
All good health starts with a strong dose of common sense. Like having a relationship with a primary care doctor. One that will take the time to really get to know you and know you well enough to listen for what you're not saying. That's a Geisinger primary care doctor. There are nearly 175 of them at more than 35 locations throughout central and northeastern Pennsylvania, all following proven guidelines that lead to a higher standard of care. There's a Geisinger primary care doctor near you, ready to get to know you and your family and be there through every stage of your life.
Sometimes the most important thing I can do is just listen.
To connect with a Geisinger primary care doctor, call 1-800-275-6401 or visit geisinger.org. Geisinger, redefining boundaries.
The best care, the best attention, in the best facility. It's all at Nottingham Village Senior Living Community. Family owned for over 30 years, Nottingham Village is committed to quality of life, your life. Comfortable elegance is the staple of Nottingham Village.
March is a madly busy month at Nottingham Village. We're breaking ground any second on our new short-term rehab addition with all the newest technology. On Sunday, March 18th, from 1 to 3, join us at 115 Bristol Lane for a Country House open house and learn how you can live at Nottingham Village for less. And don't forget to visit our wonderful 6th Annual Health and Wellness Fair on Saturday, March 24th from 10 to 2 in the Retirement Center Great Room. I'm Judy Carr, Marketing Director, and I'll see you there.
Nottingham Village Senior Living Community, 60 Knights Road, Northumberland. For more information, visit online at nottinghamvillage.org. People caring for people. We're Nottingham Village.
You know, you have an email you're going to read on the air in a few moments. We're going to do that after the news because we're only a minute away from the incomparable Sarah Bartlett. You're not going to be here the last hour on Friday?
No, I have to make a trip to Allentown.
Sarah, well. Out of the bullpen into the starting rotation.
This is what happens. See, this is what happens in the NFL when you're a quarterback that you get hurt. You got to watch out for the person that's backing you up.
No, you don't have to worry about that. Not at all. Wally Pipp should be great.
We have to make the trip to Parkland High School for Shikellamy Allentown Central Catholic on Friday, airtime 7:06. You're on WKOK. First state playoff game in over 30 years.
And what I like is the fact that the Chief is now taking my approach to broadcast when he looks at games.
And that is?
In the end, it's about the paper. Headed toward the bottom of the hour, Sarah Bartlett with WKOK News. Then we'll hear from Brian Daly, the assistant coach of the Nittany Lion basketball team on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's great to have you with us here at the Sunbury Motors Studio. Penn State basketball getting ready for the opening game of the Big Ten tournament, which will be Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Dick Girardi and I will be on at 1:30 with the Nittany Lion tip-off show presented by Chesapeake Energy. Looking forward to that. Yesterday, the Nittany Lions were down 19 to Michigan. Rallied back several times within four, but could not close the deal. Michigan won 71-65. Michigan gets a share of the Big Ten championship, their first since 1986. They share the title with Michigan State and Ohio State. Still, the number one seed for the upcoming tournament is Michigan State. So they are the number one. Ohio State is two. Michigan is three, and Wisconsin is four for the check that. Michigan is actually the number two seed. Okay, it's one is Michigan State, two is Michigan, and three is Ohio State, and then four is Wisconsin. That means you would have, potentially, if Northwestern were to win on Thursday, another matchup with Michigan in the quarterfinals. And Michigan has won two narrow games this year. Yesterday, the Nittany Lions, again, dig themselves a hole and battle back. Brian Daly sat down with Dick Girardi after the game in the Jordan Center.
Score is what you see there the last 10 minutes or so when they get 19-point deficit all the way down to four at one point, or three at one point.
Well, I mean, it just proves that these guys have some fight in them. You know, obviously, we don't feel we should have ever gotten down that much. They had a blistering shooting performance in the first half. I think they only missed six shots, right, in the entire first half. So, you know, we were able to take that hit on the chin and bounce back. And fortunately, we didn't have enough. But the kids battled. That's the most important thing. You know, we want the kids. You know, it could have been easy. You know, obviously, this late in the season, things haven't gone our way in the last couple of weeks, and you could have seen, you know, some teams of lesser character just fold in the tents. But these guys are not like that. We have good kids, good character, and they fought hard to get back in that game.
On the rare game, and I do mean rare, where Tim Frazier just couldn't get the ball to go in the basket, to have Jermaine get a career best 27, Ross Travis to get a career best 15. What does that mean? Not just for the rest of this season, however long it's going to last, but into next season when you get other guys that are starting to maybe get some offensive confidence.
Well, I mean, just take a look at the team that we played today. You know, they have got an 11-point score, a 19-point score, a 13-point score, and a 17-point
right.
score.
Right.
And too often this year, we've had one score. you know, and to get guys, three guys in double figures is a start. That's what we need. We need three. We need four guys. And, you know, Jermaine, we know Jermaine's not going to put in 27 every night. But, you know, if he can put in 15 and somebody else can put in, you know, 15, that's the way good teams are built, with multiple, you know, double-digit scores, not just one guy getting the ball. So if we can build on that, if that carries over into next week where we have multiple guys, I like our chances in the tournament.
Brian, you know what the game plan was going to be, Michigan's defense. I mean, it was just – all right, wherever Frazier goes, we're not going to run one guy at him, two guys, three guys. How hard is it for a player, even of Tim's caliber, to just see that game after game where there's no lanes to go anywhere?
Well, you know, he's got a whole lot more quickness than I ever had. so usually he finds a way, he finds a seam. Today I thought that they did a good job. They switched on every screen, and they stayed off of him several feet, which – you know, and they stayed low, which kind of looks like a roadblock, you know, from court level when you watch it, you know, and I'm sure that's what Tim saw. But, you know, he stepped back in a second and hit a couple jumpers, and, you know, if he keeps working on his jumper in the offseason, those kind of defenses will be less and less effective because, he'll be able to stick that consistently from 15 to 18.
And when you're playing your defense and a team is hitting or missing six shots in the half, What do you say to your guys? I mean, sometimes they're on them, sometimes they got good shots, but when a team's shooting like that, what's the answer for your defenders?
Well, I mean, I know we start with play harder because we, you know, when they get the open shots, we're just not giving of ourselves enough. And I thought we got messed up on a couple rotations off of their wing ball screen that, you know, we had gone over plenty of times, but, you know, for whatever reason, you have subs in the game, you have different people in the game, it looks a little bit different than it does, and we got a little twisted around. But, you know, every team makes mistakes on defense. You're just not used to somebody blistering the nets when they make mistakes. You used to be able to, you know, some couple guys, you know, miss those open looks. It just so happened in that first half, they knocked the overwhelming majority down.
Brian, all you Philly guys have now gotten a run through this for your first time out here at Penn State. You had the non-conference. You finished the regular season. You got the Big Ten tournament coming. I know you and I have talked a little bit. Just your observations on the league now that you're all the way through it one time.
Yeah, well, it's a tremendous league. Michigan's a well-built basketball team. They do what they do. They do it well. They're confident. You know, Indiana, Ohio State, Michigan State, you know, all the teams, even the teams – you know, in the so-called middle, are just really talented teams. Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, just really, really good, sound teams. So, it's very exciting to be in this league. At the same time, you know, you have to get the players that can play in this league and develop the ones that you have. And that's what, you know, whenever our season ends, a month from now, you know, that's what we're going to be doing, developing the guys we have and looking for, individuals that fit our system, fit the culture here at Penn State to come in and help us get wins in the Big Ten.
And Brian, I know you've had trips to Indianapolis before for the Final Four. You get next week out to the Big Ten tournament. You get to see that scene out there, and it will be interesting. Brian, thank you as always. Through the year, you've been great help to us. That's Brian Daly.
Brian Daly yesterday with us. He had the scout on the Michigan game. Kevin, meanwhile, is getting snacks.
I'm just listening along, yeah.
Kevin, yeah. Her update. Did you get a chance to talk to Bartlett yet about co-hosting the Final Hour on Friday?
No, she's actually not available on Friday. I'm sorry to say.
What? Oh, come on.
No, she had plans, and she's going to be out of town.
Out of town?
Yeah.
So is that why you planned this?
Just kind of worked out that way.
A little concerned about the coup d'etat?
I was a little concerned about the conspiracy, yeah.
What conspiracy?
The conspiracy. I think there's a conspiracy.
No conspiracy, man. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, just because the audience voted overwhelmingly in her favor, all right, doesn't mean a thing. It's like the audience voted overwhelmingly and say, nah, we don't need Steve on Twitter. We don't need to find out. We don't need to find out what sandwiches they're serving in the commissary over at the field house.
Oh, now see, there would be a great tweet.
No,
that's a great idea. Well, the fans, that's
worthless.
Maybe you, but
it's worthless. I don't care. Okay,
I give.
Twitter's effective. Twitter's effective in this vein.
Okay.
Promoting what you have coming up in the show.
Yes. Or if you're not broadcasting a game, to give updates to the game you're watching.
Why? Why would I do that?
Well, I did that a couple of weeks ago. I did that with the Shikellamy girls basketball game. I went to cover it and I was giving updates.
Well, that's different, though. But that's different, though. Okay. Wait. You sit at home and go, hey, the Packers are winning. It's a little different when it's like Shikellamy girls basketball, for goodness sakes, where, you know, the local fans, you're trying to connect with them and tell them what's going on. Now, that is, to me, that's effective.
Well, but see, I like to hear your thoughts.
That's effective work on Twitter.
See, it would be great. See, because you don't take my calls on weekends. So if I were to call you and say, hey, this is a really good game. What do you think of this? What did you think of this play? And then you could, you know, we would share that conversation. But so Twitter's the only hope I had that you'd be able to communicate on the weekends. Anyway, let's go to an email. Are you ready for that?
Sure.
Your thoughts on Steve Oakman's dismissal from the football team? Sean, I'm sorry. I read it wrong.
Bill O'Brien is... I'll tell you a couple of things about Bill O'Brien, what I've seen so far. Because I've been to several of the workouts where he's been there. Number one, he is an advocate for his players. Okay? He is an advocate for his players. But he also has rules. You cross the line, you're out. He deemed under his rules and how he has structured it that Oakman crossed the line, and he dismissed him from the team. It also sends a message to everybody else that there is the line drawn. At the same time, I've also watched him in interaction with the players. He will push them hard. He will work them hard. He will get on their case, and he'll also be their biggest advocate. So, I'm not going to get into what Oakman did or did not do, all right? But it was a violation that he could not put up with, and as a head coach, it's not a question of making an example, but when you discipline somebody, you do discipline for two reasons. Number one, because that person broke the rules. And number two, to let everybody else know that you're aware that somebody else broke the rules and this is the action they took.
All right, the second part of Daryl's email to Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Feels really good about Patrick Chambers and his approach on the basketball team, and he thinks if given proper time and continues to recruit as the men's team will improve immensely.
Well, I expect to see improvement next year. out of this team. Number one, DJ Newbill will be active and allowed to play next year, which will give Penn State another scoring option on the floor, especially from the outside. He's also tough as nails and is a pretty good defender. And will dive on the floor. He'll give himself up. That's how he got hurt early in the season. He had a crack in his shoulder because that was from diving on the floor in practice. Now, this is a guy that didn't, you know, you'd say to yourself, does he really have to do that? He's not playing this year, but that's part of the program, so that's what he does. They'll also get the Walker kid, the 6'8 forward, into the mix as well. And then the players that have been recruited have verbaled so far under NCAA rules I can't discuss, but we know they're both, highly touted, but they're a year and a half away from signing anyway. And so I would expect to see improvement in the program without question next year, and I would expect a step, I mean, no question, a big step from the program from what we see this year to his third year in the program. Patrick Chambers is a winner. He is a great choice. He is exactly the right guy they should have for Penn State basketball. I could not be happier with what I've seen in terms of his approach to this team, to the program, to recruiting, and his aggressiveness and the all-out heart he puts into the job.
Another email for you. This one's from Adam. Says, if you're going to tweet, I'd love to see different pictures tweeted of broadcast locations and stadiums.
Well, there was a point on my cell phone where I actually did take a picture of every broadcast location we had.
And then you changed cell phones.
No, well, I did, but you know what happened? They went to transfer everything in my phone over, and for whatever reason, they tried three or four times. I had to actually start from scratch with my contacts and everything like that. They couldn't do it. I actually had, and I was going to post them up online. I was going to do everything with it. Every football location I had, obviously I wouldn't have Nebraska on there because, yeah, I did broadcast a game in Nebraska in 2003, but that's before, obviously, I had this phone. But I had all 11 football locations. I had all 11 basketball, again, minus Nebraska, locations. And also other places I'd been to. I went all the way back to the 2007 Alamo Bowl with pictures in there that I was going to post of exactly where we broadcast the game from. I was going to put together a collage of all this stuff. And when they had to get a new phone, it was just one they had to do it. When they went to transfer, they could not transfer my contacts, let alone my pictures. Which is too bad. I actually had exactly what he was talking about. I would have put it up there.
You know, I really believe that. For a while, I wasn't sure because you were very descriptive, and it was almost like you were trying to make me believe that you would do that. But I started to realize you're being sincere now.
No, I had done all that.
See, that would have been cool. I would have enjoyed that, too.
I mean, just to me, it was everything from the Rose Bowl, because we broadcasted the goal line from the Rose Bowl. You know, everything from the Rose Bowl and the angle we had to Landover to the Link to the Alamo Bowl to the Outback Bowl to the Capital One Bowl to the other 10 Big Ten stadiums plus Beaver Stadium. I had everything in there from every Big Ten court to Madison Square Garden where we were located, Florida, in Gainesville at the O'Connell Center at the OC. You know, things like that. I had all that stuff on my phone. And I would have done that. I would have put that up there because I would have thought that would be something interesting for people to see. And give them a view as to what your view is.
See, there you go. That is a good thing for Twitter for you.
Well, I'm saying
or
that
Facebook
would be.
For that matter.
But that would be. I mean, it would have been. You know, that would be. The fact that they're out of hot dogs at the in the press room. I'm sorry.
Now that's a travesty for me, but that's a different topic.
That's a waste of my time to tweet that. 1-800-795-9565. There's a couple of good emails there, so we obviously can always email in at stevejonesshow.com, at stevejones@wkok.com, stevejones@wkok.com. Also, stevejonesshow.com, and also, there actually is a Twitter account, at stevejonespsu.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
These days, who isn't on a budget? Whether it's a ramen noodles every night budget, a cutback on your cable channels budget, or how in the world am I ever going to put my kids through college budget? Allstate has something just for you, the Allstate Value Plan. It's their most affordable car insurance, and it still comes with an Allstate agent. Plus, the Value Plan includes Allstate Easy Pay, so you can stay on top of your payments without even thinking about it. The Allstate Value Plan. It's the kind of car insurance that fits any kind of budget. It's Allstate for all.
There's an Allstate policy for everyone. Why not see how much you can save with the Allstate Value Plan? Find an agent near you at allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Allstate Value Plan. Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate.
Designer Homes is proud to announce a new, affordable, and stylish home, the Harvest Gold. This home's perfect for first-time homebuyers. Starting at just $69,995, this over 1,300-square-foot home is loaded. Three bedrooms, two baths, and kitchen with lots of cabinets, plus many upgrades standard inside and out. You'll think you hit pay dirt with the Harvest Gold. Don't delay. Stop and tour today on the Designer Homes lot in Mifflinburg. Call 966-6244 or visit online at designerhomesofpa.com.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking? Dude. For you, Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right. Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
Another wild and raucous edition of the Steve Jones Show with Kevin Hurrentow, Sarah Bartlett on news. Her and Bartlett are both bagging me on Friday.
You're like, yeah, you now you think it's a conspiracy, don't you?
We'll just have to get somebody in here who can just get the job done. That's all. I want somebody who wants to be on the show. I want somebody who actually wants to be a part of the mix.
Well, if it weren't for the fact that the PIAA felt the need to play this game in Allentown, I'd be here for the entire thing.
Where is the WKOK copter?
I don't know. I was looking for that the other day. We were going to fly you back and forth, but it didn't work. We couldn't find a pilot.
Well, I'll fly it.
I am not feeling warm and fuzzy about that idea.
Yeah, how about some confidence?
This is a man who described the other day coming down, landing in State College, just going down. All right, we're going down into State. You never use those terms when it comes to an airline flight.
Oh, right? Whatever. We're trying to put the thing, park it on the runway, whatever. Yeah, so all right, we missed it. Okay,
never say the words. We were going down in the State College. No, that's
hey,
bad.
I'll tell you right now. At least you got a control tower there now. Peace, what happened last year. We're coming in from Alabama, and Jack was sitting next to me. And I looked over. I looked outside. I said, something's not right. I said, we're too high. He says, what? He says, you've done this 1,000 times. I trust you. What's wrong? I said, we're too high, Jack. He says, you have to be kidding me. I said, yeah, something's not right. And all of a sudden, we come in, and all of a sudden, boom, he takes the plane, and jerks that whole thing straight back up in the air. You want to know why?
The woman's volleyball plane from Florida was landing in the opposite direction at the same time we were.
That was before a tower, right?
That's before the tower was done. They were constructing it. That's why.
Ooh.
We pulled up and out.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Circled around a little bit, then came into land once their plane landed. That was, you sit back and went, you have to be kidding me. Let me tell you the worst one, though.
What's your worst?
Oh, we were officially in a crash. Football team. Yep. 2005. Penn State wins the Big Ten Championship, winning at Michigan State. So now everybody's all thrilled. Of course, they have the trophy. They strap the trophy in the plane. We go flying back. Right. Okay. There's about 7,000 people waiting for the team at the Rec Hall for a quick rally. Okay. We're coming into land, and of course, you know, you get used to it, okay? When Jack says, hey, you've done this 1,000 times, you're, yeah, I have. You get used to it. Bellefonte, Seibert Road, Cata Test Track, 5 buildings, blue lights, land the plane. Okay. Every time. Well, now we're coming in, and it's Bellefonte, Cyber Road, Cata Test Track, Rock Road, 5 buildings, blue lights, and Wayne Sebastianelli, Dr. Sebastianelli, who's not America's greatest flyer to begin with, is sitting across the aisle from me and goes, oh my goodness, Steve, we're coming in fast. I said, yeah, we sure are. And he took that thing and he goes straight down, boom, right? And we go back up in the air.
Oh, that's reassuring.
We go back, and we hit and went back up. Now we're floating.
Oh,
right, and all of a sudden, boom! He bangs it down again, and also he brings it down a row. And of course, the players, you know, the big tough football players.
now that was coming back from Michigan. Did you say Michigan State?
Michigan State. Okay,
see,
now,
that's why I drove back from that game. I went to that game, but I drove back.
Now, everybody gets off the thing. Okay, we go over to Rec Hall. Everybody's like, okay, everybody calms down. And nobody in the building knew anything happened. I go to fly to Texas A&M for a basketball game 2 weeks later, and I see Carl over at the airport, the charter area. I say, hey, Carl, how you doing? He says, hey, where are you going, Steve? I said, I'm going to Texas A&M. He says, well, hopefully it's better than the last flight you had. I said, yeah, that was kind of a rough one, wasn't it? He says, rough? He says, you came down, he says, and hit, and sparks flew off the back of the thing. He says, you went 50 to 60 feet up in the air, floated about 300 feet down the runway, and he banged it again, and he sparked it all the way down the runway. The National Transportation Safety Board listed as an official accident. They investigated. Now, my favorite line was 109 people on board all survived. Now, that part I thought was cool. Okay. He did $3 million damage to the fuselage of the plane.
$3 million.
$3 million damage to the aft fuselage of the plane.
Wow.
109 people on board, all survived.
Woohoo!
I like that. I mean, if it had gone the other way, it would have been Kevin Herr and Sarah Bartlett on this show. And it would have been called the Sarah Bartlett Show.
Oh, man, I still don't get top billing.
With Kevin Herr in tow. Sarah has the news at the top of the hour following CBS.